In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now, among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven, God is. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found fulfillment, God will be. Not denying the world, but delighting in it. Not condemning the world, but redeeming it. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God was, God is, God will be. Amen.
Please stand and sing our call to worship, Holy Ground, number 224.
Greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The Lord be with you today. As we gather and worship, we especially extend a warm welcome to our visitors. And if you are with us for the first time, we ask and encourage you to fill out a visitor card. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you, and you can place those in the offering plate. And it will help us get to know you a little bit better and know your needs and what you're looking for in a church. And we hope that you'll find a home here at First Baptist in Elon. Today I want to remind you, first of all, of our Bible study tonight. We've begun the Sunday evening programs again, including our adult Bible study. And tonight we'll be taking the topic from this morning's sermon a little bit deeper. So come with your questions, maybe your arguments. Whatever you got, bring it on. We will take it. So we look forward to lively discussion tonight. And one of the great things about being a pastor is you have the pulpit to say publicly thank you when you need to. And I want to express a word of thank you to many of you who have been aware of the situation with my dad and his health and have been praying for him and just came back in last night from being with him in the hospital, and encourage you and ask you if you continue to pray for my dad. That's my selfish indulgence as the pastor, so thank you for that. Today, as we worship, we are, as we've sung, on holy ground. We've come into this place as God's house, and we are God's people. We're bound to one another in the presence of this holy God. So I invite you to take a moment as we begin our worship service to bind yourself to those around you, to greet one another in the name of the Lord, to introduce yourself if you don't know each other, and I especially encourage you to find someone you do not know and introduce yourself to them. Would you stand and greet one another in the name of the Lord?
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Over the next couple weeks, you're going to hear more of our deacon ministry team speaking to you about the opportunities to help them serve. I encourage you to write your name on the sheet if this team is what you feel like you're called to, or the coming weeks, write your name on the sign-up sheets that are you'll have the opportunity to look at. This morning, as we focus our minds on worship, may we find comfort and strength in the words of David, Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence, and go around your altar, O Lord, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving, and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, and the places where your glory abides. Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty, those in whose hands are evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great congregation, I will bless the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. God of all faithfulness, you've opened the gate of mercy for your people, and you're always ready to welcome those who turn to you. Lord, look on us in your compassion, that we may gladly respond to your love and faithfully walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Let's stand and sing together our hymn of praise, The Potter's Hand. Please stand.
Into your perfect plan.
In 1990, in a small town in Texas, 100 students decided they needed to gather and pray for their schools. So these 100 students gathered at the flagpole on the last Wednesday of September in 1990 and lifted up prayers for their teachers, for their fellow students, for the administration, for their school, for schools in their county, for schools across this nation, and for schools across this world. What started as 100 students in 1990 has grown to more than 3 million students gathering at a flagpole the last Wednesday in the month of September each year at CU at the Pole. In 2013, over 3 million students, not just in the United States, but worldwide, gathered in prayer for their schools. This Wednesday, students in our county will gather at their flagpoles to lift up prayers for their fellow students, their teachers, their administrators, their principals, their crosstown rival schools, the schools across this nation. What a powerful testimony to prayer. What a powerful testimony of what God can do through the act of prayer. This year, the See You at the Pole theme verse comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. See You at the Pole started as a simple movement of prayer in their community, but it's turned into a global movement of prayer which is student-initiated, student-organized, and student-led. This is not about teachers calling their students together to pray. This is not about a school calling their students to pray. This is a voluntary act of students gathering in prayer for their school system. What a powerful testimony. This Wednesday, our youth group will be gathering for breakfast on Wednesday morning and then heading out to the schools to get the students there in time to stand at the flagpole with their fellow students and lift up prayer. I ask that you be in prayer not just this day, but every day this week, leading up to Wednesday. And on Wednesday, spend some extra special time in prayer for those students that gather. And then after Wednesday, on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, lift up the school systems. Lift up these students who have made a visual statement about what prayer is and how powerful it can be. This morning, may we lift up, See You at the Pole, 2014. Let us pray. Father God, I am thankful for those initial students in 1990 who saw the need to pray and gathered and did. I'm thankful for your ability to make a simple movement spread across not just the state of Texas, but across the United States and across the world, where 3 million students will answer that call of prayer this coming Wednesday. Father God, I lift up each school in our system. We lift our teachers up, the principals up, all the people, the volunteers that make our school system what it is. But I lift up the students most importantly, because the growth that takes place within those school walls is very important. I lift up those students this Wednesday who will gather to pray for their fellow students. Students they get along with, students they don't get along with. Teachers they get along with, teachers they don't get along with. I'm thankful that this visual act will be a message to those that gather and those that come to school Wednesday morning. I'm thankful for our youth as they gather to pray this Wednesday. I lift up their families, our church families. We seek to support them. And may this year at See You at the Pole be more than 3 million. May it be 4 million or 5 million. And may the word spread. Father God, we are thankful and we lift up Wednesday. See You at the Pole 2014 to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. This time, I want to invite our children to join me down front for our children's time. My absolute favorite scripture passages. Pastor Mason is going to preach on it in just a few minutes. It is one of my favorite.
And it's probably a story that you have heard before. But before we get on that story, I have a question for you. And this is a time of confession. Sometimes we have to admit things that we did that maybe we shouldn't have done. Have you ever been out in the yard and played, you know, playing really hard? Maybe it's a little muddy out and you get dirt and mud on your shoes. Maybe it's on a set of cleats you were using to play soccer or baseball. And then you went inside the house forgetting that mom or dad told us not to walk in the house to get dirt. Has anybody done that before? Confessed. Luke. You did it on Saturday, buddy. I know. Did it before? That, you know, because our parents don't want us to make a mess, right? They don't want us to get all that mud and dirt all over the floor, right? Have you ever been to a house where you had to take your shoes off at the door before you walked in? Ever been to a house like that? You have? Okay. I've been to houses like that before. Do you know why they do that? It's the same reason. It's because they don't want anything to get messed up. The story today that Pastor Mason is going to preach on talks about taking off our shoes. And the funny thing is, there's lots of different types of shoes. If you look up here this morning, we have four different types of shoes. We've got tennis shoes down here, dress shoes, boots, you got tennis shoes, and sandals. All different types of shoes. And I thought, what would be a way for our children to remember this message and this sermon today? But I think what we should do, and I'm going to do this, if you want to join me, you can. I'm going to take my shoes off for today's worship service. Y'all okay with that? Everybody okay with that? If you're not, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. All right, so here you go. I'm going to take my shoes off. Y'all want to take your shoes off? I know. This probably stinks pretty bad. Nobody's going to join me? Come on. This is the one chance your parents can tell you, get your shoes off the back of the pew. Now you can put your feet up there. Come on. Come on. Anybody going to join me? All right. Well, I'm going to leave my shoes up here for the entire worship service today. And this is going to be a reminder to me about what this story is all about. You see, Moses was out in the desert, in the wilderness. He was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And he was out there, and the crazy thing is, Moses saw lots of crazy things out in the wilderness. I mean, it's not all normal. But one day he was out there, and then he saw something burning. Does anybody remember what it was burning? A burning bush. And the crazy thing about this burning bush is, it was on fire, but it wasn't getting burnt up. That's crazy. Now, Moses has seen some crazy things before, but he had never seen anything like that. So he said, I'm going to go over and check out what's going on. So as Moses approached this bush, do you remember who spoke to him? Jesus, that's right. God spoke to him. And he said, whoa, Moses, you need to stop. And then he said something very simple. Do you remember? Take off your shoes. You are standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Well, the story goes that Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And eventually he took his shoes off. And then he had a conversation with God. See, God had a special plan for Moses. God was going to lead Moses back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. You see, God had heard the Israelites complaining. He had heard them fussing. And he had heard them agonizing with the pain they were going through. And God was going to use Moses to do this. But let's get back to that thing he told Moses to do. He said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. What made that ground holy? God made it holy. Because if you think about it, anywhere that God is, that's holy ground. Now, if that's the case, isn't God with us today? Yeah, he is. And so, God is here with us, and we're standing on holy ground. I'm going to leave my shoes up here the entire worship service. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But it's going to remind me that God's here with us, and we're on holy ground. Let's stand up. Let's have a word of prayer. And if you want to, you can leave your shoes up here too with mine. If not, that's okay. But let's remember, wherever God is, we're on holy ground. Let's stand up. Let's have a word of prayer.
Father, I thank you for these young men that gather here this morning.
Let's worship the Lord as we stand and sing the offertory hymn. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Please stand.
Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, and we give you thanks for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We come now to return a portion through our tithes and offerings. Please use these to further your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Down and tiny pieces to the ground, I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around and caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know. And now everything is falling into place. A brand new life, it's calling, and I owe it all to grace.
So much brighter living in your world, Savior, what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Whoa, whoa, I'm learning to be the light. Whoa, whoa.
When a heart is cold as ice, you can melt it with advice. No one wants to listen to a list of things they shouldn't do. So I built a city on a hill, and I light a candle on a still, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh Lord, I just want to love everyone. All I have is yours to give, so let the people come.
It's so much brighter living in your world, Savior, what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Whoa,
that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame.
It's so much brighter living in your world, Savior, what you did for me. Gave me something I want everyone, and I mean everyone, to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Whoa, whoa, I'm learning to be the light. Whoa, whoa.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for the way you are moving in the life of this church and the answered prayers you are bringing to so many. We see you at work in the world around us and in our lives. We are in awe and stand amazed at your goodness and your mercy. When we bring to you our confession, you are true to your word, and your word says that your mercy knows no end, that your love endures forever. And so it is in the confidence of your mercy that we approach your throne this morning. And we approach your throne, Lord, to lift up those from our community who are hurting, Many of us are struggling, Lord, today with sickness. We are either about to have surgery or procedures done, or we just have, and are seeking continued healing and strength. We especially remember Amy Nix, as her hours are few. We pray for your comfort around that family, Lord, and your peace in Amy's life. We especially lift up, Lord, the things that are going on in our world that trouble us. It seems like we have come a long way as a human race and yet have gotten nowhere. We pray for peace. We pray for reconciliation. We pray for an end to hunger, an end to poverty, an end to suffering. And Lord, we pray them not as idealistic statements that we pray because we feel we ought to, but God, we believe and expect you to bring your kingdom. Even as we prayed earlier, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our hope, our prayer, and our belief. In the name of Christ, your Son, we pray. Amen. I invite you to hear our scripture from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12.
Let love be genuine. Hate
what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, but be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. The Lord always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen.
Oh,
Would you pray with me once more? Lord, as in the time of Moses, when you spoke through the bush, we pray you would speak again through the burning of your words in our hearts and in our minds, that you would speak through the Holy Bible, that timeless text that becomes timely for us here and now. Amen. I recently heard someone in a restaurant enjoying their sandwich and talking to the person that was with them, and they said, "This sandwich is amazing." That bothers me, because I'm the type of person that I think to myself, really? Amazing? You're amazed by this sandwich. You're amazed by two slices of bread, some meat, maybe some lettuce. I don't know what's on your sandwich, but you're amazed by it? I don't think we know what that word means anymore, do we? It's like that scene in The Princess Bride, for those few who maybe know something about that movie. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. We throw words around in our society today, and words mean less and less, and that's just one example, but it's an important word, amazing. To be amazed, and this is not Webster's dictionary definition, this is Mason's dictionary definition, which is looser and can fit to whatever sermon I need it to fit. But the word amazing, according to me, is something that puts us in a state of shock, awe and inspiration, to the point where we can say we cannot compare this experience and this moment to anything else we've ever experienced before. Now, when we experience that, I think then we can say, this is amazing. And so as we come to our scripture today in Exodus 3, the story of the burning bush contains something that to me is absolutely, positively amazing. Listen to this. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here am I." He said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The city of Israel, of the Israelites, has now come to me. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I've also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of the land of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they asked me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. Amazing. I think, and maybe this is the Boy Scout in me, that something as simple as fire is pretty amazing. But then to think of an entire bush in flames and not burning up, even more amazing. And then that Moses would go toward this bush and the bush would speak, even more amazing. And more amazing still is that the voice coming out of this bush would say, I am the God of Abraham. It's kind of amazing that Moses would say to this God speaking through the bush, who am I? It's even more amazing that he would say to the voice, and who are you? And how amazing is God's response? I am who I am. It can also be translated, I will do what I will do. Or I will be what I will be. Yahweh. All of that's amazing. But what I find utterly, totally amazing is not that the bush was on fire and did not burn up, not even that it was the voice of God coming through the fire of the bush. What I find amazing is this rhetorical pattern that God shares with Moses. I observed. Or another way to say that is, I saw. I heard, I know, and I have come down to deliver. I saw. What did God see? He saw the suffering of the people. He saw the whips of the taskmasters on the backs of the slave. He saw his people crying out and hurting. He saw hunger and he saw thirst. And so he said, I saw. I heard. What did he hear? He heard the cries of the people. Not just a prayer like, Lord, be your will, I suppose you could help us. No, he heard the cries of his own children. The nation that God himself created and formed out of Abraham. He heard their cries. And it said, I know. I know. Tonight in Bible study, we'll find out a lot more about that one phrase, I know. It's much more powerful than what is written here. It's much more powerful than we might imagine that statement, I know their suffering. And then, for the God of all creation to say, I came down to deliver them. That's amazing. It's amazing that the one who said, let there be light, and there was light, the one who formed something out of the chaos, it says that all of that there was welter and waste, formlessness and voidness, tohu wabohu. And God took that and formed something. That this same God saw what was going on to these insignificant completely unimportant, little tiny group of Hebrew slaves, that the God of all creation saw it, heard their cries, knew what was going on, knew what they were dealing with, knew their pain, knew their suffering, knew their fears. And he came down to do something about it. Consider the ant, if you will. Well, the truth is, you wouldn't consider the ant, would you? Who cares about this creepy, crawly thing on the ground, mucking about in the sand and in the dirt and the grass? If it's just an ant, who cares? If it's a fire ant, we probably have a personal vendetta against it, a hatred for it. It's a little thing that matters not to us and to our existence. And nothing that that ant can say or do is really going to affect me much beyond annoyance. Are we not as much as ants before the Almighty? Little things of no significance, with completely pointless little endeavors, and so worried about things that don't really matter to us, to God. Going about our toil day in, day out, same thing in and out, day after day, year after year. How mundane, how monotonous. And yet, God sees you today. Whatever you're going through, good or bad, God sees you. Whatever your situation is, whether it be desperate or desperately wonderful, God sees you now. And when you pray, God hears you. The God of the universe hears you. The God of all creation hears you. And God knows what's on your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows your doubts and your fears and your worries. He knows your anger. He knows your sin. He knows your heart. And oh yes, God came down to deliver. He came down to Bethlehem, into this little manger. A child was born who would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Sometimes in life, we can feel very much alone and distant from God. And we wonder, does God really hear us? Does God really see us? I'm a confessional pastor, so I'll tell you a story from my college years. I was living in this little house called the Marshbanks House, just past Campbell University, with five other guys. The aroma was terrific and amazing. And you think about the insignificance of little bugs. We had all kinds of little bugs in this house. But the strangest infestation that ever occurred was my senior year. The ladybugs came. We know not why. We do not know where they came from. But suddenly hundreds of little ladybugs migrated into our house. Specifically, into the room I was sharing with this guy named Will. And we counted over 100 on the walls and the ceilings one day, just crawling. We didn't know what to do. What could we do? I'll tell you what Will liked to do. Will liked to get the vacuum cleaner. And he would see them crawling around, living their lives, and it would be like a little ladybug rapture for them. You know, they would just whisk away. And their friends would say, "Oh, we've been left behind." Some of them would fly around, and we had a halogen lamp, which I think are illegal now, maybe, but one of these hot, fiery, burning halogen lamps, and the ladybugs would just be unexplainably drawn to the light, and they would hit that thing, and poof, they would burst into a little ladybug inferno. They burned in the fiery pit, brothers. Woe unto them, and woe unto us. You have never smelled anything like the smell of a ladybug on fire. But for the little bugs that didn't get raptured up by Will or burn forever in the flames of the halogen lamp, the rest were left to wander in a college student's room with no food and no water. And the story turns to a sad note because we watched as these ladybugs, they wouldn't leave. They just wandered. Our walls were white and bare, and they would wander across this white wall, this barren land, and one by one they would fall. I imagine they were starving or dying of thirst, but they were dying. The ladybugs were dropping. And one day I was laying in my bed watching this one little bug, and it was one of those moments that we all have where you just feel kind of alone. Nothing really bad happening in my life, but you just feel empty. And you wonder, God, are you even listening to me anymore? Do you even care? You go through these moments in your life where you don't feel God anymore. You ever been there, done that? And it was one of those moments for me where I said, God, are you even there? And I just felt so low. And there's this little ladybug. And I thought, you know, I don't know what I thought. I just saw him. And I walked over to him and I thought, well, maybe I could save this one last bug. Do something that mattered. And I walked over to the wall where the bug was crawling, and here comes the bug, and I put my finger right in its path, thinking it would crawl into my hand and I could throw it out the window and let it be free. And this little ladybug crawls right up to my hand, and my hands are sweaty. It's hot up there. We're college students. We didn't run the air conditioning. And this bug comes in real close, and it puts its little ladybug legs right on the tip of my finger, and it leans in, and I see this little sucker of a mouth coming out, and it's drinking the moisture from my finger. And in that moment, I heard God speak in a way I can't really explain to you. It's just a thought in the back of my mind, one that seemed to have originated not from within me, but from somewhere else, and I knew this was God. He's about to say something. And God said, be the ladybug. And I said, what, God? I was hoping for something more profound, but he said, be the ladybug. I laid back down on my bed and I thought about that for a while, and it occurred to me as I thought about Moses' burning bush experience, maybe I had just had mine. And maybe the message was one of deliverance and salvation. Maybe God had heard. Maybe God did see me. And you know what? He did. And God knows how I feel. And God came down to deliver. And the message was clear. God was saying, in these times of woe and wonder, in these times of desperation and loneliness, in these times of trial and suffering and struggle, in all times of life, put your hands in my hands and drink from the water of life. For in me is life, and in my hands is deliverance. If you seek deliverance today, there is but one God. The God of Abraham, the God who is who he is and will do what he will do. Would you pray with me? Yes, Lord, it is amazing that you would consider us mortals, that you would take the time to look upon our lives and to hear our cries. It's easy for us to point fingers at you and demand more, but For now, it's enough to be amazed that you care and that you know us and that you love us. Help us to never lose that amazement. Help us to never grow used to the idea that you hear our prayers. Help us to never be desensitized to the fact that you are watching us always. And that as your word promises, you never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, Lord, it's amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing our hymn of response, I invite you to stand. God will take care of you. What a perfect and powerful word of promise. Number 64. Would you stand as we respond? Receive this blessing as you go. May the God of all creation, the God of Abraham, the God of burning bushes, amaze you each and every day in this coming week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.